Gene, let's talk about your current job, which is to cover the border. What changes have you seen in border coverage in the last 2 years?
So the changes that I've seen have really centered around how the Trump administration is really cracking down not only on illegal immigration, but also on people who are trying to come across the border legally. So under the Trump Obama administration, we were seeing record numbers of deportations and a lot of heartbreaking stories of that kind of family division occurring through those deportations. But now you're seeing the administration going after people who, for example, are just trying to ask for asylum at the U.S., the people who come at the ports of entry the legal way to ask for asylum, and they're being turned away or they're being separated from their children as part of this whole deterrence strategy that the administration has. So the change is really about, instead of focusing purely on illegal immigration, now we're seeing a lot of people who came to the U.S. legally or who are trying to get to the U.S. legally not being able to or facing unexpected challenges.
You are an award-winning journalist. What made you decide to write a book, in particular a memoir about your life and the life of your father?
I've always had this book in the back of my head. My father, he was a stay-at-home dad while my mother was a doctor, so I spent most of my childhood with him. And he just made a huge impact on my life, a very positive impact when I was a child. He would always take me outside and take me on road trips to the beach. And I just remember kind of coming into consciousness with my father. So that when he fell into a depression and all of that magic in his personality kind of went away, it was really traumatic for me as a child, and it was something that I've been wanting to come to terms with ever since. Because eventually he became convinced that the CIA was after him. He started doing things like wrapping himself up in aluminum foil to try to block out the what he said were voices that the CIA was sending into his head. And all of these stories that he told me, he started to tell me these stories when I was a journalism student. And so I think that I've always, my interest in writing this book about my father has always been tied up with my journalistic inclinations, my desire to get at the truth about what was really going on with my father. My mother told me he had paranoid schizophrenia. And as a child, I didn't really know what was going on. All I knew was that whatever had happened had taken my father away from me. And so it was very traumatic. And as an adult, I decided that I needed, paranoid schizophrenia didn't fully explain for me everything that was going on. And I needed to use my tools as a journalist to try to get to the bottom of what was really going on.
A common theme throughout your memoir is your need for control over your own life and fate. Do you feel like this book helped you gain it?
I do. So because for so many years, my desire to recover my father basically involved reenacting. Like, basically, I was conjuring my father in myself to try to recapture him. So I was experimenting with drugs, and I was dating juvenile delinquents, and I just had these really self-destructive tendencies as a teenager. That even in my career as a journalist, I would always gravitate to dangerous environments. You know, sneaking into opium poppy plantations when I was a foreign correspondent in Mexico, and smuggling routes, and just taking a lot of unnecessary risks. And eventually I realized that I was so obsessed with trying to recover my father that I was sort of reliving his life. And it had led me into Mexico, which is where he's from, to try to retrace his roots and try to discover things about his past. And eventually I decided that I had to quit my job. I was working as a journalist at the Wall Street Journal in Mexico City, and it was a great job. I loved it so much. But like I said, this book had been in the back of my mind since I was a child, really. And I realized that I was taking so many risks and sort of becoming my father. And the only way that I was going to break that pattern and untangle myself from him was by writing this book and trying to find out how much of him I had in me, really, and how much of that was good and how much of that was something that I wanted to walk away from.
What does your father think of the book?
My father, he's actually very supportive of the book, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And because I know a lot of people who write memoir, or who a lot of people who want to write memoir, refrain. They don't do so because they're worried about hurting their family members or creating conflicts with their family. And I was very much worried about that. And I just feel so lucky that he ended up supporting the book. I mean, initially he told me that he didn't want me to write the book because he was worried that the CIA was going to come after me if I, you know, documented his experiences. Because the book really started when he started telling me in detail some of the things that he believed the CIA was doing to him. And I felt like it was my duty as a journalist and as his daughter to investigate the possibility that what he was saying was true. So the book is me just going down all sorts of rabbit holes to try to discover the truth about my father, including, for example, I found out that he had a great-grandmother in southern Mexico who was a clairvoyant curandera. During the Mexican Revolution, she was paid to commune with spirits. So I kind of explore these parallels between her voices and visions and my father's voices and visions. And I think when he realized that I was just trying to honor the complexity of his reality and trying to find out how to separate myself from him for my own evolution, then he really came around to supporting the book.
Has he been officially diagnosed?
So my mother, who's a doctor, told me when I was about 10 years old that he had been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. But one of the inquiries in my book is one of the things that I tried to find out for the book was if, in fact, he had ever received such a diagnosis. But the medical records from back then no longer exist. And he's been to rehab and different mental health clinics since then, but he hasn't... He hasn't actually been to a psychiatrist to be diagnosed since I was a child. So I have no evidence that he was ever diagnosed. But I mean, I studied neuroscience in college in part because I was so intrigued by my father and wanted to find out what was going on with him. And you know, I studied paranoid schizophrenia, and I don't know if my father has paranoid schizophrenia. I know, like, if we were going to focus on a diagnosis, I would say that he falls more into the category of schizotypal personality disorder. But I honestly don't feel comfortable giving him a diagnosis, and that's part of the book. It's just that labels are so. In when it comes to my father, labeling him as paranoid schizophrenic or as shamanic or a victim of CIA mind control experiments, none of those labels fully encompasses who he is. And when I try to limit my understanding of my father to just one of those, it really does damage to me, because I am being reductive in my thinking about humanity as well as about reality, which is always so much more complex than we think it is. And that's one of the things that my father taught me. I always kind of think of him as the ultimate migrant. He's crossing borders between countries, between madness and sanity, between substance abuse and sobriety. But he also was crossing borders in a way that was really inspiring to me as a journalist, because he always pushed me, he always encouraged me to push past the boundaries of what I knew into the unknown. And that is really, I think, what fuels journalistic curiosity, this impulse to venture into the unknown. And in that sense, I feel like my father gave me a real gift that fueled the writing of this book. I mean, when I was a kid, he was always filming everything. He carried around this Panasonic camcorder, and I have dozens of VHS tapes from my childhood that I used in part to write this book. But he just had this obsession with recording and documenting that he gave me, and this obsession with exploring beyond the boundaries of reality, but also beyond the boundaries of the known. And that's something that I think fueled my curiosity as a journalist.
At the end of the memoir, you describe your trip to Tlatelolco. Do you think that finding the image of the pentagram, sharing Juanita's birthday, and your feelings of connections are coincidence or fate?
So I actually don't think it's either or. And one of those, that's one of the things that I explore in the book, this whole idea that when you, and I think that's what makes my book relevant to the current sort of post-truth alternative facts era that we're living in. The more that you admit that you don't know, the more likely you are to learn new things and to open yourself up to new perspectives. And I think that's clear. I mean, I really believe that curiosity is driven by a kind of hunger. And that hunger requires that you acknowledge your own ignorance and your own limitations. So I don't think that this great grandmother, this great great grandmother, who was this very mystical figure in my family, I don't know if it was a coincidence or fate that we share the same birthday. But I do believe that if I sort of dwell in the uncertainty, I'm more likely to grow and to evolve. And that was one of the great things about writing this book, this realization that I didn't have to have all of the answers. And I think that in this climate currently in our news cycle, it could really help to just sometimes admit that you don't know and to be open to learning new things.
You are often drawn to the dissimilar natures of Mexican versus American perception of things. How do you cope with this polarity in your daily life?
So for me, it's not so much about coping with it, because it's really all I know. I've always had this sense of living in multiple worlds, not just because I grew up on the border in San Diego and I would constantly go back and forth to visit family in Mexico, but also because of the polarity between my parents. My mother is a doctor. She's this very by-the-books person. And my father is my father. He is very anti-establishment, some would say anti-reality. And walking the line between them is something that's just been a part of who I am since forever, since as far back as I can remember. So crossing borders and navigating multiple worlds, it's really all I know. And part of the reason I wrote this book, aside from my personal reasons for writing it, I wanted to give a narrative, to give communities a narrative that doesn't necessarily fit into one category or into one world, because I feel like so many people in the United States, particularly along the border, don't feel that their identities are defined by one particular country or culture or narrative. And so Crux is really just this tapestry of stories and perspectives and eras, and that was part of what was motivating me.
Parts of your memoir feel grounded in science and reality, while others play with the idea of confusion, imagery, and feeling. How did you come up with this framework?
So, my father, like I said, he represents. He's someone who even though he represents this really fantastical side of me, he also gave me my journalistic curiosity. And so I think the reason that my book is both magical and very much rooted in journalism is because that's how my father is. He when I was a little girl, well, throughout my life, he's been a great mechanic. He sees through to the mechanics of everything, like he has X-ray vision or something. Like he can align brakes, he can make batteries, he can fix broken pipes, he can start a fire from scratch. So he had this very scientific side of him where he could see through to the mechanics or the physics of things. And also this very literary side where, I mean, he taught himself English by sneaking books into the shipyard where he worked as a burner before I was born, helping to build the Exxon Valdez. But then he also has this side of him that is very prone to fantasy. And when I was a kid, when I was a girl, he found it really amusing that I was so gullible as a child, as all children are. But he would always to amuse himself, he would encourage that, and he would tell me, like, "Oh, I just saw the Little Red Riding Hood out on the street. Too bad you missed her." And he would promote this. He would kind of blur the line between fact and fiction for me. And so it was a natural thing to explore in my book. I mean, my book is very rooted in journalism, but there's magical elements of it that I decided to embrace. Like my great grandmother who was allegedly a clairvoyant curandera. It's just a part of my family, and it's a part of my upbringing. And I had to incorporate it into the structure of the book.
You risk your life multiple times in your quest to find the truth. Talk a little bit more on this subject. Do you feel like those risks were worth it?
From a personal point of view, I do think that these risks that I took were worth it. I mean, I wouldn't recommend them to anybody. Because, you know, I was very self-destructive throughout my youth, self-mutilating, and just, you know, dating very dangerous men and experimenting with drugs, and then later in my career as a journalist, taking some of the risks that I mentioned earlier, they're risks that I took, in part because I was trying to understand my father by becoming him in a way, because he felt so inaccessible to me. He felt so far away from me that I felt the only way that I could get him back was by becoming him. And I the only way for me to find my way out of that was by writing this book, by writing a book that was rooted in journalism, in facts, to try to find that line between fact and fiction that my father had blurred for me, to find that line between healthy and unhealthy that my father had blurred for me. This book was really just about regaining my grasp on reality.
The title of your book is Crux. What does the title of your book mean?
The title means multiple things, and I did it that way on purpose because I want to leave it up to the reader to have a say in what it means to them. But one of the main meanings is really just this whole notion of crossing borders. My father is the ultimate migrant who taught me to cross borders, both literal and metaphysical. And also this notion of contradictions, you know, crux in Latin means cross, And that is also representative of contradiction. Sometimes reality is contradictory, and it's really hard for us as humans to accept that, or to be okay with that, or to be able to grasp that. And I realized, you know, that my father, he was both a scientist and a madman. I mean, it, depending on your point of view, he was someone who was extremely unhealthy, experimenting with crack cocaine. But he was also somebody who was extremely brilliant and gave me incredible gifts. And I wasn't able to fully embrace the gifts that he had given me until I realized that it didn't have to be either or. I didn't have to be obsessed with my father or hate my father. I could just accept him as he was, which is this whole bundle of contradictions. And then I could, you know, take the good and leave the bad.
What do you hope the reader takes away from this memoir?
What I hope that the reader takes away, first of all, I really hope that someone who has a family member who they feel distant from and who has represented a lot of pain in their lives, I really hope that this book helps them find a little bit of freedom from that pain. I know that that's what a lot of memoirs did for me growing up, you know, just this realization that, wow, like, you know, I'm not alone in this pain, and this pain doesn't mean that I'm doomed. I could turn bad things into good things. There's a scene in the book where my high school English teacher, Mr. Brown, gives me a copy of The Liars Club by Mary Carr. It's a memoir about her struggle to come to terms with her father's binge drinking and her mother's mental illness. And he told me, you know, you're not doomed to become like your father. You can turn bad things into good things. And I would just feel so great knowing that if I was able to provide that for somebody as well.
Jean, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much.